Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you in the house of the Lord. For as the psalmist said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now you say you love God. Do your thoughts, do your words, do your actions reflect that love for God you say you have? God takes our salvation seriously. Let's take our love for Him and living for Him seriously too. That's the focus through our scripture readings for today. Keeping in mind that serious living enhances joyful worship. And so let us, with that thought in mind, turn to our opening song, hymn 406 in the red hymnal. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. We pray, Lord God, in mercy receive the prayers of your people. Grant them the wisdom to know the things that please you, and the grace and power always to accomplish them.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. On this sixth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, our first lesson comes to us from 2 Samuel chapter 11, reminding us of the fact that sinful thoughts begin in the heart, and if not curbed, can lead to sinful actions. We have an example of this with King David. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. In response, we sing a couple of verses from the hymn, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways." How does the Lord God want us to go about this life he has given to us? One answer is found for us, for example, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, our second reading. "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Love and respect. That is what God wants to see from us toward Him and toward one another. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. The word of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this is from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, we want to hear these words once again from our second lesson for today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow people of God, called by him to live holy lives, and to do so more and more. Why is it a person cannot eat just one? A potato chip, for example. Now, this may not apply to everyone here, but have you tried to stop at just one chip? When you eat one, you want another, and another. The next time you are having chips, and especially with dip, or whatever it is that you cannot help but take another bite of, think of these words before us in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord God, through his apostle Paul, is not talking about eating chips, but he is talking about a similar concept, which is brought out in these words. God is talking about how we are to go about this life that he has given to us. In a nutshell, we are encouraged to, and it is not an option, live to please God more and more. The why to do this is clear throughout Holy Scripture. And the how to do this is just as clear throughout Holy Scripture. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonian congregation in response to a visit that Timothy had made to the believers there. Because you may recall that Paul had not been able to spend a lot of time in Thessalonica, roughly about 3 weeks, as he was driven out of the town due to adversaries. And for the sake of the believers there, he left that town. But he never left thinking about those believers there. He was concerned about them, and so Timothy went back to see how they were doing. As Paul feared the worst, he feared that they would have lost their faith. And Paul is ecstatic to hear the opposite had taken place. They had not lost their faith. In fact, their faith had grown. And to the point that they were a model to believers, not only among them, but believers elsewhere. More and more they grew in faith, and more they lived the faith. Paul was indeed thankful to God and to the Holy Spirit for making that happen in the face of adverse circumstances. So after giving thanks to God and reminding the believers in Thessalonica of how God has helped them not just stay in the faith, but grow in it and be model for others, he encourages them to grow in this faith more and more and to live this faith more and more. To keep on living in it. Not only to please God, but also to be a benefit to themselves and also to a benefit of those around them and throughout the world. God definitely has his people's best interests in mind. And the Apostle Paul expressed that here in these words before us. People may not always recognize that you are living your life in a way that will benefit them, but that's not to be the motive why we do such things. The motive is clear. The motive, for example, is found in Romans 12. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. What has God done for us in mercy? He sent His one and only Son, who had no sin, to be sin for us. The words of our text, the words of the Old Testament reading and of the Gospel reading, they definitely apply to us as we take an honest look at ourselves. Can any one of us say we are free from sin in our thought, in our words, in our actions? Have we ever hated someone to the point we wish them dead? Have we ever looked at someone not just to appreciate their beauty, but we want their beauty for ourselves? Have we ever maligned someone's reputation? Have we ever made an oath while at the same time had our fingers crossed behind our back? Oh, the sins we commit are many, aren't they? Day after day, in thought, in word, and deed. And so how important it is and necessary that we have the mercy of God in our life, who does not give us what we deserve, but gave it to one who did not deserve it, His Son, Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus do with those sins that you and I have committed and do commit? He took them to the cross and left them there and said, "It is finished. Your sin is paid for." Not to go living on in sin more and more, but rather just the opposite. You have been called not to live impure lives, but pure lives, holy lives. And so the motivation is clear. We have been justified by God's grace, His mercy, and we have been called, set apart by God, to be His very own. People who are eager to do what is right, to do what is good. And we're not alone in that. The Holy Spirit is the one who has called us. The Holy Spirit is the one who has set us apart. The Holy Spirit is the one who encourages us and works in us to do what is right. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The Holy Spirit uses the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, to bring us to faith and to keep us in that faith, and to guide us in that faith. And then He takes us back to the law of God as further guidance. The Word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting at. Because if we are not in the Word on a regular basis, where are we going? In reverse. There is no standing still. Either we're moving forward or we're going backward. And God has called us to move forward in Christ. And this is how, for example. We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. We need that reminder, for God's ways, since the fall into sin, are not natural to us. What is natural to us since the fall into sin is to do selfish ways, self-centered ways. And thus the reminder through Jesus oftentimes to have self-control. To be reminded of the fact that daily we are fighting our old Adam, who wants to please self, versus the new man, who wants to please God. And the way to have the new man have advantage over that old flesh that's still in us is by being in the Word. By nature, we still have a sense of what is right and wrong. We know by nature that murder is wrong. And thus, when we commit murder, we try to cover it up. We know that having an affair is wrong, and thus we try to keep our texts and our emails private from our loved ones so they don't find out what we're doing. We know those things. We know that gossiping is wrong, and so we do it in back corners, and we look under stalls to make sure no one in the office is in there to hear what we have to say to someone else. We know those things are wrong, and yet our old Adam can't help but want to continue to do those things. But you and I are not called to follow our old Adam, are we? We're called by God, set apart by Him, sanctified through Christ Jesus to live holy lives. And what does that consist of? Well, one of the things that Paul drives home has to do with our body. This isn't a recent problem. This is an ongoing problem. And when you read the history books of Rome, for example, my goodness, it makes you blush. And that's the point. Sins against the body are not just sins against God. They're not just sins against you. They're sins against others. Very serious matters. And so we are encouraged to control our bodies, not like the heathen who have no self-control when it comes to the use of their bodies. You have a ring on your finger? So what? So do I. Let's go for it anyway. So certain motels are for, aren't they? Big money industry. It's become even more accessible with the internet. To the point where society doesn't even consider it shameful. But God still considers sins against the body, whether it be adultery and so forth, He still considers such sin and harmful not only to Him, to self, and to others. The public beach, for example, should not be viewed in the same way as we take a shower. We have a responsibility to those around us. Cover up. God takes our salvation seriously. And He's called us to take our living for Him just as seriously. To His glory, for our benefit, and for the benefit of those around us. Now, the world may think you're nuts and you're old-fashioned. But as the Apostle Paul says elsewhere, ought we care, per se, what the world thinks of us? We are not here to please the world, but God who tests and examines our hearts. And so what is it that distracts you and keeps you from putting God's holy will into practice when it comes to matters of the body? Do you need a mentor to help you fight? Think about those things and pray about those things. Remember the movie Fireproof? What the husband finally had to do? Take a baseball bat to that computer? What is it that you need to do to help resist temptation? God knows temptations are real. And while temptation necessarily in and of itself is not sinful, it can lead to sinful acts. So what are we doing to help curb the temptation given into sin? And it's not just matters of the body, it's also matters of the mouth and matters of the hands. Back at the time of our text, it was the men who so much were the gossips. They would gather in the marketplace and not discuss business per se, but idle things, not working with their hands. And so the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit's doing, has words to say to them, get busy with your hands and less busy with your mouth. It is not our role. We are not called to tear down, but rather to build up. Again, people might consider it strange that you're not willing to join in the gossip with them. So be it. We are not here to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. We are here to live to please God more and more. The why is clear. We are justified. We are called to be set apart. The how is clear as well. Not giving in to sins of the body, which can also be in the mind. And not to give in to sins which deal with the mouth and idle hands. Because God is serious about this, He is just as serious about the message of forgiveness. For all those sins that you and I have and do commit, He also points out you are forgiven. Not to continue in those sins, but to live to please Him more and more. To excel in living for Him more and more. And the way to do that is what we're doing right now. Coming to glorify Him, to hear His Word, to be enriched through the Word, edified by that Word, and fed through the sacrament as well. So that we can live for Him more and more. We're here to grow in His grace, His love for us, and what that love wants us to do, to live for Him more and more, to His glory, for our benefit, because God wants what's best for our body, for our mind, and for our soul. And He wants that for others too. And so He says, go with this freeing gospel that I have given to you. Go and live for Him more and more. Be an example for others. Win their respect. They may not agree with you, but at the end of the day, they can't say you're wrong. Because the goal is to make disciples of all nations. And if we're giving in to sin, we're not accomplishing that goal. Are any of us perfect in this? No. But by God's grace through Christ, He views us as perfect and has called us to be His representatives. And we do that by living for Him more and more. The why is clear. The how is just as clear. God, help us not only hear that word, but put it into practice daily. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed as they are on page 9. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. We pray.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at your feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for you. Amen. We continue the prayer of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, in the fullness of time, you came into our world to save us from sin and death.
You have chosen the day of grace, O Lord.
Beloved Son of the Father, revered by the Magi, baptized by John, you came preaching and teaching, healing and comforting, forgiving and encouraging.
You brought the light of life to those walking in darkness, and the joy of salvation to those doomed to death.
Prince of Peace, shine like a beacon for us and the people of our world. Let the good news of salvation be heard in the remotest corners of the earth. Open our lips to speak your name to those around us who still live without faith or hope. Lord of the Church, let your peace rule our hearts, that we may use our gifts to serve you and each other in willing gratitude and joy. Watch over our loved ones near and far, that they may remember your love and rejoice in your salvation. Strengthen the faith of the sick and the disheartened. Give hope to those in despair and comfort those who mourn.
Be gracious to all and lead us to reflect your love in everything we say.
Lord, thank you for watching over Mary Bartelt, Linda Haffill, and Fred Biederbeck during their medical procedures this past week. We ask that you would grant full healing to their bodies and that you would continue to bring peace to their souls. Thank you for watching over Heather Groth during the delivery of a baby girl who they named Lydia. Continue to watch over this family, both physically and spiritually. Thank you for those celebrating birthdays this week. Continue to have your blessings be evident in their lives and continue to deepen the love and commitment of those celebrating a wedding anniversary. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Finally, bring us and all your believers to the heavenly home, where we will stand in the full light of your glory, and with all your saints and angels sing the everlasting song of triumph.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In the past, he spoke to us through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of his glory. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he is betrayed, took bread, And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Good to see all of you here, and especially our guests with us today. If this is your first time here, or you haven't been by our Welcome Center, please take the time to do so and find information there about our mission and purpose here at St. Mark's. Bible study today, we're in the month of February. We're continuing our look here in the church proper at the theology of the cross and what that means for us day to day. Also then, regarding the other Bible study taking place in the chapel in the building next door, please see page 16 of the service bulletin for an explanation of what that class will be offering and talking about today, as that matches up with the Sunday school lessons which the children hear about. Teens will be taking place in the upper room in this building. Ash Wednesday is right around the corner. The months keep flying by. The 26th of February, 7 o'clock is our Lenten service, Ash Wednesday, 5:30 supper. We continue that tradition of having suppers beforehand each week, so keep that in mind. We thank those in advance who have already signed up to host those suppers. Special voters meeting today after the second service for the purpose of extending a call for a principal who will also be teaching during the school days somewhat as well. We have BCD also working on plans to provide other teachers and aides who will be available to help provide administrative release time and teaching during certain periods of the day. If you'd like to see a Q&A document that has been prepared with questions that we've received so far, you can find that in the entryway on the table outside the glass right here. So behind Pam Baker, if she raises her hand, that's on the other side of her, are those Q&A sheets. If you have further questions, on that sheet, it directs you who to ask those questions, and we'll continue to update that document as necessary. That document also talks about the changes we are making to the school to help keep it viable academically and also financially. Other information going on, please see the weekly news. If you don't get it by email, you can do so. Just contact the office. We'll get you on that list. Otherwise, pick up a hard copy, again, in the entryway by the glass. wish all of you a great day in the Lord. Hopefully you take the time to get to know each other better. Even the word hi goes a long way. And hopefully your name is still the same as it was the week before. Have a great day. Thanks.